This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show. I'm so nerding out right now that a half hour from now we get to talk to a veteran of the Rhodesian Bush War. I'm having trouble staying focused.
My focus is just stay focused.
And don't shake your head, Chris.
Shut up, Chris.
I love that we added that on there. That's my new favorite soundbite, Chris. I'm going to text people about
people it. People be texting.
What? Did you get that email, Chris, from the guy? Sorry, we'll get back to politics in a minute. Somebody wrote in an email and had his kid or his nephew figure out how to put that people be texting. It's now the text notification on his phone. Chris, can you do that for me? Do you know how to... Corey, can someone do that? Do you know how to do that? Is it no one knows how to do that? We need some young people in this office. This is the problem. We need young what, Chris? Don't I have two kids? Yeah, but I worry that they're more like me. You know what? James could probably do it. I'll make James do it. He'll figure it out. All right. First of all, two good things before we get back to some other stuff. Headline, Hegseth, Secretary of War Pete Hegseth, is planning a huge shakeup at the top of military command. That is incredibly important and necessary. As we were just discussing last hour, the long march through the institutions, well, the communists didn't exempt the military from that. They wanted it. They knew they had to have it, and they went and got it. They attacked our military. We have so many commie generals, commie admirals, so many of them throughout our service academies now, again, doing what? Being subversive, fighting for the revolution. Cleaning them out is going to be a very long, very difficult process, and it is extremely necessary. And I mean extremely necessary. So that's a good thing, something you can feel good about. Here's something else. The federal government has shed 271,000 jobs this year. I know we have concerns. I know we have things that we want done, things that aren't being done. I get that. And all that stuff is legitimate. Like, I just criticized everybody yesterday. Man, do you think we'd have gotten rid of 271,000 federal government jobs if Kamala Harris was president? No, we would not. No, we would not. Now, I have to play this bit because it just makes me laugh. This is Zohran Mamdani. He's the incoming mayor of New York City talking about free buses.
Senator, we made 5 bus routes free in New York City. When we made those bus routes free after a year, assaults on bus drivers dropped by 38.9%.
On the bus drivers?
On the bus drivers. Because unlike the train, the act of fare collection on the bus happens on the bus.
Yeah, it's their job,
They're actually going to claim that bus drivers will get assaulted less when they make the bus free. Let's have a little chat, shall we, before we get back to politics. And it's ugly to have this conversation, but I don't care. I'm ugly. Wait. On the inside. I'm ugly. So let's have it. Access is, it's one of those things you need to monitor in life. And if you ever find yourself in a place that lets everybody in, you will find the biggest bunch of scumbags and lowlifes in your area every single time. If you want to get me to not go somewhere, and you know I'm cheap. I'm not Jewish producer Chris cheap, but I'm cheap. If you want to guarantee that I will not go somewhere, make it free. Or, and I've learned this lesson after 44 years, you're just going to have to trust me. Or half price day. They have this place here locally, and it's one of these kind of kids' paradise places. They're all over the country, so you have one close to you as well that has a bowling and laser tag and arcade games and pizza. You know, it's kids' paradise, of course. We walked in. We had been there before. Took the boys there. Then it was a Wednesday, I believe. We went there with the boys, and it was more scumbags and ghetto trash than you've ever seen in your entire life. couldn't figure it out until we walked up to buy our tickets and they said, oh, hey, it's half price day. I'm glad you're here. They're going to make the buses free in New York City, and it's going to be so freaking bad. It just, there's nothing these people cannot ruin. There's absolutely nothing these people cannot ruin. All right. Now, I'm going to play something for you. It's Ilhan Omar. And I love that she's in so much pain right now.
I mean, the
this is about, by the way, this is about Trump's new travel ban. He added a bunch of more Muslim countries to the travel ban.
I mean, the biggest worry of the new executive order is that it does separate families. It doesn't create an exception for U.S. citizens to have their family members be able to come visit and celebrate milestones with them. And so this is a very cruel.
Oh, well, let me clarify. We don't want your family members here. We don't want them to visit. We certainly don't want them to live here. I don't want to smell a single one of Ilhan Omar's family members. In fact, if I ever take power in this country, Ilhan Omar and all of her family will not just be banned from this country. I'll deport anybody they know who's in the country. That's how bad it's going to be one day. But again, the communists understand who's the bread and butter of their revolution. Here's Steve Cohen.
But they're arresting people simply for the offense of being in the country illegally. It's not right, but it's not necessarily something that should cause deportation when they are not committing crimes and they are contributing to the economy. So that's a concern we have.
They're arresting and deporting people for being in the country illegally. That is a controversial position for the modern Democrat Party. Oh, he had more to say.
Memphis is not an immigration center of crimes, and most of the people that are there that are immigrants, even if they did come into the country illegally, most of them are working legally and doing a lot of important work in Memphis in the construction industry, the tourism industry, and they're necessary and needed.
They just prefer foreigners over you? It's friggin' horrible. Friggin' horrible. Hey, Jesse. Thanks for the another outstanding history lesson, this time about the Rhodesian Bush War. I am so disappointed in the West, especially the U.S., for failing to support Rhodesia against the black communist factions. I understand now why my long education never included this disgraceful debacle of a prosperous nation. Yeah, that's why your school teachers never taught you about Rhodesia, because they were on the side of the communist terrorists who were butchering people. They were on the side. They view them as their kinsmen, the communist terrorists who destroyed a once beautiful, prosperous country. I know it's hard to accept, but there's a good chance your history teacher wants to do the exact same thing here. And will do anything in his or her power to make that happen. It's a terrible state of affairs, but this is why this stuff doesn't get taught in schools. Jesse, this is about healthcare costs. I now pay $27,000 a year for good coverage for my family. Good grief. My pot is simmering and about to boil. The whole system seems so messed up, from the hospitals to the drug companies to the insurance providers. Can this ever get fixed? Are there ways to opt out of the system and into something that will cover a family without paying extra for abortions and trans crap and illegals? Paying for healthcare is now a full-time job. It is... unbelievable what health insurance now costs in this country. I can only tell you what I've looked into, okay? And I'm not an expert because I haven't done it, right? What I've looked into. Getting out of the insurance-run medical industry, meaning concierge medicine. And it sounds expensive, and it is expensive. There's no question about it. But it's not that much more expensive than having health insurance now, and that number is going to get better as more and more people chafe against the health insurance industry, which of course the government screwed up. Remember, it's not the insurance companies. It was all this Obamacare exchanges and everything else. That's what screwed it up. That screwed up our health insurance industry. Now there are doctors and doctor's offices, and there's chains of these things now, multiple chains across the country that do concierge medicine, which means no insurance. You pay something like a monthly fee or something like that. But what I've warned about repeatedly, and what you can totally see happening now, is this is going to make good healthcare only something rich people get. And that was previously not like that in the country. The last time I had to go to the hospital, I was mortified, not just by the conditions, by the staff. Were there some lovely nurses? Of course. Was there a good doctor? I don't know. None of the ones I saw. It was a bunch of dirtballs. Rude, dumb, it's freaking terrible. Bad state of affairs. Now, speaking of which, let's focus on being drug-free, shall we? I mean, when we're in pain. I've done it before in my life too. What do you do when you're in pain? Your back hurts again. Well, I better go grab that bottle of ibuprofen. Man, fix your pain naturally. Relief Factor is 100% drug-free. It is a supplement. You are in pain, your hand hurts, your back hurts, your knee hurts because there is inflammation. Let Relief Factor help your body fight that inflammation. They are so confident that it works, it's bordering on cocky. They sell 3-week quick starts of it for $19.95. Go and try it. $19.95, isn't that worth a shot? You take it every day for 3 weeks. If your pain's the same, just don't call back. $19.95's it. 1-800-4-RELIEF or relieffactor.com. We'll be back.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a magnificent Wednesday, hump day. And you can email us, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. 10 minutes away from our veteran of the Rhodesian Bush War. Can't wait to talk to him, but let me go ahead and address the elephant in the room. So, Dan Bongino, Deputy Director of the FBI, Dan Bongino, came out today. There were rumors swirling already, but he came out today, made it official. Trump kind of let the cat out of the bag. I think he's leaving. Dan said, hey, January, I'm leaving. And a bunch of people were asking my thoughts on it because they know I know Dan. So, hey, Chris, if you wouldn't mind, I would like to hear what I said back in July. So, here it is.
Do you remember what I told you about Dan Bongino and the FBI?
But I wake up every day and I look at my phone for maybe a text message or maybe just a headline, Dan Bongino stepping down. If Dan Bongino steps down, especially if it's over the next year, it can't be saved. He doesn't believe he can save it because he's not going to sit there and do nothing. If he throws his hands up and says, screw it, I'm done, that'll tell you it can't be fixed. I don't know all of his reasons. I don't know. Maybe he just misses being, you know, on the radio or wherever he's going to go back to. He's going to be a huge success wherever he goes back to. I don't know all his reasons, but I told you a long time ago that was my concern. My concern is that institution, I was about to call it organization, that institution is far beyond saving. That it is such a criminal institution now, after years and years of communist infiltration, it is such a criminal institution that maybe you can nibble a little on the edges here and nibble a little on the edges there. And obviously you can do some good things. I mean, the only reason we have the pipe bomber now is because Bongino, right? You can do some good things, but all you can do is nibble around the edges because at its core, it is an evil, communist, criminal organization, and I do not believe it can be fixed. I don't. It should be defunded, disbanded in its entirety. It should. And as I've said many, many times before, I believe that the FBI will be one of the main driving forces between whatever you want to call it, secession, rebellion, something in the future in this country, because the communists are going to keep sending FBI agents into states, into people's homes. They're going to keep sending SWAT teams to arrest pastors. And one day, some red states may actually get some guts and say, no, you're not allowed to come in. No, you're not allowed to do this. And that is going to put a state versus the federal government. And it's easy to see how that could kick the whole thing off. We can't take half measures with communist institutions. We want to do it the right way. You cannot take half measures with communist institutions. By the way, Chris, what are these shekels you put on my thing? What are these things? Is this what you people call shekels? Is that what it is? What? Playing with the dreidel. What's a dreidel again, Chris? You don't have to insult me like I know everything. I know my campaign manager was Jewish. I didn't go over the whole Torah with him. I don't know everything about everything, okay? You know, he did not. I didn't get invited to any holidays. Definitely not after the time I asked him if matzo ball soup had mozzarella in it. I was always under the impression that it did. He was mortified. He thought, what did he say? I think he said to me, that's the most goy thing I've ever heard in my entire life. I don't care. His mother loved me. She was an angel. What, Chris? Matzo ball soup sucks? I know. All your food sucks, but I'm sorry. And by the way, don't sell me on the potato cake things. Everybody else does that too. You can't claim that. You people can't claim that. Bagels are admittedly phenomenal. I'll make this argument. A good everything bagel with bacon, egg, and cheese on it. What, Chris? Oh, yeah, I forgot you can't eat some of that. And a little bit of mayo or Miracle Whip if you want to class it up a little bit. That is the best breakfast on the planet. It's better than biscuits and gravy. It's better than waffles. It's better than anything else you can come up with. It's better than steak and eggs, Chris. A good bacon, egg, and cheese bagel. You wouldn't know because you're from Texas, buddy. And I know you're Jewish, but the Jewish food sucks here. Actually, you do make good bagels. I take that back. So maybe you would know. Now, you don't know much about bacon, egg, and cheese. Not like I do. But maybe you can have, like, goat egg and cheese. Is that what? Goat's not bad, Chris. It's really not bad. Anyway, Jewish food's terrible, buddy. It's just dreadful. Dreadful. That great comedian Sebastian Maniscalco he's obviously Italian, has a hilarious stand-up routine about that, basically bragging about Italian food and making fun of Jewish food. I think his name, you've never heard of him? Sebastian Maniscalco. He's got 8,000 TV specials out there. He's really, really funny. Hey, I have no idea why I'm talking about this right now. Oh, it's because of the shekels you put here that say Happy Hanukkah on them. And apparently there's chocolate in here or something like that. But hey, thanks for the shekels, Chris. Now, let's go talk to a veteran of the Rhodesian Bush War. Next.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Chris, buddy, pick this song. I like this guy already. This is freaking awesome. So, obviously, as we've been discussing over the past week, I did a multi-part thing on the Rhodesian Bush War, but I'm just a dumb American from Ohio. I'm a white trash kid from Ohio. What do I know about the Rhodesian Bush War? Just what I read, right? I'm blessed enough that we had someone reach out to the show who knew someone who was there, a veteran of the Rhodesian Bush War, who's probably forgotten much more about it than I will ever know. And I thought it would just be a wonderful perspective. So now allow me to introduce Buddy Lilly, Rhodesian, veteran of the Rhodesian Bush War. Buddy, but before we get into the war and everything, tell me about Rhodesia pre-war. Tell me about your family. What'd you do there?
Oh, I grew up on a farm. I was the original Gomer Pyle. Lived on a dairy farm, never went anywhere until I went to Paris Island.
How about that? Now, you're a farm boy, you go to Paris Island. Then you end up in Rhodesia? How's that happen?
Well, no. I went in the Marines. I did my 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
Liked it. I liked the Marines. I had a good time. Fought with the 26th Marines at Quezon. I went back, flew helicopters with HMM 161 as a gunner. That was quite a change from being a ground pounder in division, but it was all good.
Now, we can't just fast forward past being a freaking Marine in Quezon. Tell us about Quezon.
If you ever go up there, it's beautiful. I don't, when I landed there, August 67, when I got off the plane, I looked around. And for those that are listening, any vets that's been there, it was dark, kind of foggy, but it's beautiful. Right on the Laotian border. And I was there almost 7 months. And I was lucky enough to have been gone all the way out to Long Vay, which was the special forces camp that got overrun during the fight. And it was just beautiful territory. I mean, that's all I can say.
Now, the fight itself, it's hard for me to explain to people what it's like when an artillery round of any kind lands close to you. I have attempted to explain it. It happened to me in Iraq. But someone at Quezon would know far more about it than I would. Tell people about what it's like to be under artillery fire.
From my own personal perspective, if you'll pardon my language, the pucker factor goes up.
Mm-hmm.
That was not the first time I had been under artillery or rocket fire. I'd been there a couple of times up in Dong Ha, really caught it up there. I fought. But when they started hitting us at Quezon, which would have been January 21st, they were so accurate, it was scary. The base is not very big. You can go online and look at it. It's not a big base. And what you listen for is your guys shooting back. That gives you a little bit of satisfaction, because when you're down there in the hole and there's nothing you can do, but when your guns go off, and that would be the 13th Marines, when they started returning fire, it really felt good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it feels good to give it back to them. So I know it's kind of a dumb question, but how does one even sleep when you are surrounded by the enemy? You know you're surrounded. Things are exploding all the time. How do you even get any shut-eye? Did you?
Yes. It's. I'm sure there's other guys that have been in the same situation, but you get to the point you're tired. And I would, I had an M60, and I had a outside fighting hole right at the flight line of the runway. And I would pull a poncho over me in the M60 and sit on the two cases of ammo and bring the gun up close to me. And when the poncho had the top tied off, because the fog and with mist were just like being in rain, and I'd sleep like a baby.
I forgot what it was like to be that friggin' tired. All right, now, for the reason you're joining us again, we're speaking to Buddy Lilly, veteran of the Rhodesian Bush War and obviously the Vietnam War as well. Buddy, how do you end up in Rhodesia?
I do not want to sound too corny,
okay,
but I think one thing I missed was the camaraderie of the military.
Mm-hmm.
And after I got to reading about it, what was going on, I said, crap, you know, this is a real thing. There's bad guys over there. And I said, okay, if I'm going to do this, let's do it now. I had missed the 73 war in Israel because it didn't last very long. And I'd been so used to traveling with a without a passport because I worked for Uncle Sam. Well, first thing I did after the Israeli war was get a passport. Duh. And I just one day woke up and said, okay, that's it. I said, I'm out of here. I should have gone about a year and a half earlier my dad had passed away and I had responsibilities here. And by then, everything was good. I had my mom taken care of. My bills were all paid up. Didn't owe nothing anymore and just wanted to get over there and get into it.
All right.
Hope that doesn't sound too goofy.
Doesn't sound goofy at all. I just had a meet up with my Marine buddies last year because I missed the camaraderie. There's nothing goofy about it at all. Anybody who's been in knows exactly what you're talking about. Now, we'll try to walk through this step by step. Overview-wise first, what is Rhodesia? What is the state of the war when Buddy Lilly gets there?
Not good.
What year is this?
Pardon, sir?
What year is this?
This would be September of 79.
Okay.
They were still fighting, and they were still winning. The SAS and Light Infantry were doing a lot of raids over in Mozambique, which I would tell the readers that are interested to, if they can find some books on it, to read on it. These guys were really good on what they did on the incursions into Mozambique. But they were still hitting when I got there because we had a safe house where we kept our gear at. And I was walking in there one day and two aircraft came over so low. And this nice lady that was there noticed, oh, they're going to Mozambique. And, you know, just like that, just like it was no big deal.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, so, Buddy, if you don't mind, I'm just so grateful you're giving us your time. Before I start to dig into you, the training when you got there, everything else, I have to go to a commercial break, and then we'll come back and we'll talk some more about this if you have time. You got some more time for me, Buddy?
Yes, sir. I'm here as long as you want me.
Thank you so much, man. Semper Fi. Buddy Lilly, veteran of the Rhodesian Bush War, going to come break some more of it down for us. I just cannot believe how much this topic has taken off with you. So, I love it too. I'm geeking out over here. I told Jewish producer Chris before the show even started, I told him I'm just going to nerd out. I can't believe we have an actual veteran of the war here to talk about it. Anyway, before we get to that, let me do remind you that our dogs die too early in this country. They die too early because we give them what? What do you feed your dog? Same thing I feed my dog, dog food. Let me guess what color the food is you give your dog. Let me guess. Is it brown? Huh. Why is it all brown? Did they all get together and just decide on a color? It's all brown because it's dead. Brown things are dead. They roast that stuff so high and at such a high temperature at the factory, all the nutrients is gone. They cook it all out of it. Sprinkle rough greens on your dog's food. You will find lethargic dogs come alive. You'll find your dog's coat looks better. His breath is better. Digestive problems gone. Just a healthier, better dog that lives longer. Roughgreens.com, promo code Jesse. Roughgreens.com, promo code Jesse. We'll be back.
Feeling a little stocky? Follow, like, and subscribe on social at JesseKellyDC.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a magnificent, magnificent Wednesday, a hump day, and we are still joined by Buddy Lilly, veteran of the Rhodesian Bush War and Vietnam, United States Marine. All right, Buddy, we kind of fast-forwarded through something that actually I'm curious about. You wanted the camaraderie, you wanted to go fight the bad guys in Rhodesia, but I would venture to guess you didn't just buy a plane ticket and show up and knock on someone's door over there. How does that work? How does it work to even get recruited? How did you get signed up?
Jesse, you don't know how close you just came. I had been in touch with the recruiter from the light infantry sometime before that. But when I decided to go, I went and bought a ticket. Loaded my bags up, went on over, and when I landed there, I said, well, I'm here. Now what am I going to do? And you hit it just about on the head.
So Whose door did you knock on, buddy?
Let me say this on a serious, serious note. The Rhodesian people are the most polite you'll ever meet.
Mm-hmm.
On the plane, I was, well, I flew from, just for information, not to be boring you, but from New York, you had to fly into Joburg, and then they would put you on Air Rhodesia. And when I got to Joburg, gentleman came over to me, and I said, uh-oh, this is not good. He said, we've got your bags, sir. They're a little heavy, but we're going to load them for you. Go right ahead. I kid you not, sir.
What?
And he said, they're heavy. And I said, they're tools. He said, I understand. And I got on a plane. I sat next to this Rhodesian gentleman who was coming back from Canada. And we had a wonderful talk. He filled me in on things and offered me his home to stay at, gave me his telephone number. When we got to, when we landed in Salisbury, when we landed there, he took me to a hotel. He said, if you don't like this, please call me. And I was just, I just said, gee, this is like being in the country in the USA. These people are so friendly and polite. The other first person I met was the customs guy with a big grin and says, you want to join the Army? And I said, I just got here. Can you give me a break? And I really was like that. They were, everybody was just helpful. That's all I can tell you.
Okay, so you get yourself checked in at the Rhodesian Best Western or whatever hotel you were checked in at.
Not quite, but close.
Where do you go then? Do you go have a night or two out on the town chasing down Rhodesian women? Do you what's next?
Well, the gentleman from the customs gave me his number and asked me to give him a call. They only lived about 6 or 8 blocks from the hotel I was at, which was not a flea bag. It was okay, but it was not the Monomotapa, which I could see across town, which I couldn't afford, thank you. But it was nice. So I called this gentleman up, walked to their house, and you got to imagine now, this is downtown Salisbury, beautiful town, was. And I'm carrying an AR on my back. Nobody gets. Except in fact, it's an AR, and they don't see an AR-15. They don't see too many of them. But I looked around and said, gee, everybody's carrying guns around here. I mean, seriously, I'm not exaggerating a whole lot. And anyway, I got to this gentleman's house, and his girlfriend worked for the courts, the Criminal Investigation Division. So she sent me over to see one of the supervisors the next day, who on a scale of 1 to 10 was about an 8.5. she sent me to a couple places for interviews. I mean, I'm on my second day there. This is how fast things were moving. And I was offered a couple jobs, and I did not feel comfortable taking a couple of them because I didn't know the AO. I didn't know all the customs. The responsibility I would have had did not line up with my knowledge of the country, if you know where I'm coming from.
Mm-hmm.
So I ended up going to work for, well, I had an interview with Anglo-American, which was a pretty big corporation, and went to work for the Forest Management Service. The gentleman in charge, the big boss, took me to his house for lunch. I was just flabbergasted. I know it sounds crazy, but gave me a long talk, took me down, made sure my driver's license would be okay in Rhodesia. Said, be at the office at 1 o'clock. You're going out on a convoy. And next thing I knew, I was hired.
Okay, so we're going to pause on before we get to the convoy. This is something actually I did not tell everyone when I was discussing the Rhodesian Bush War. You brought it up. I've seen the pictures of it. That women would walk around with weapons. It was such a dangerous place that just everybody was armed. Did you see that?
Yes, sir. I mean, you didn't always see it, but it wasn't unusual to pass somebody with a FAL on their back. Everybody over there had to be a citizen soldier, male or female. You did not know when or if Mugabe's boys were going to pop in there and do something. They weren't as bad as the terrorists are nowadays. They didn't hit the big cities much, but you had to be prepared anyway, and those people were prepared. Some of the later on, one of the hotels in Umtali where I worked out of, I forgot to tell you that much. Something.
It's okay, buddy. Because we're about to take a break. And then when we get back, you're going to tell us everything, because I'm just going to continue to bore you with questions because I'm so fascinated right now. I'm so excited. Buddy Lilly, veteran of the Rhodesian Bush War, as promised, is here, giving us his time. Killing it, by the way, buddy. Cannot tell you how much I appreciate this. So we are going to take a little quick break. When we come back, I know this is the next hour. Buddy Lilly is going to give us some more wisdom. Hang on.
This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.